It's the Red Dirt Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Red Dirt Paranormal.
Oh my God!
Jax.
Kesha, I think she boned something that goes hump in the night.
And 3D.
The whole house would be like a Rube Goldberg machine of ass kicking.
Featuring a special guest, David Omen of the Omen House.
Wait, ask when Scooby-Doo sound off we like.
Fire up your K2s and let's do this.
He was probably the one that was keeping those folks out.
Right? We have what I call and what I refer to as transients. Just like you have transients that are alive, transients in death, you know, they, whether something happens to where they were living at or they just got bored and they just move on and find another place where they feel welcome and they like it. And that's one of the things that we do here is, you know, we open up and we make it very clear, you know, if you're not going to mean us any harm or anything like that, you're free to stay as long as you want to. My kids have even come to accept that, you know, they have their own place here at the house where they stay, and they do very well. You know, every once in a while you'll hear or see something that is amiss, but for the most part, you know, there was one night my oldest son plays college football. He's 6'8", 360 pounds. He's huge. He plays at a university here in Oklahoma, Southwestern Oklahoma State.
And we found out that he cannot ride a roller coaster, even though he loves roller coasters.
Yeah, he can't ride a roller coaster because he's too big and he loves
it. So sad.
But we're at a friend's house, and I can't remember what we're doing. And he had left his grandmother from his mother's side, lives about 15 miles from us. And he had gone over there, and we had left, and he came back over. And between our front door and the hallway, we have a blanket to try and keep the heat back there and the cool up front. And my phone rang, and it was him. And you've got to understand, you know, when he talks like this. You know,
right.
He's, you know,
big voice.
And
right.
He calls, and he says, "Dad, where y'all at?" And I told him. He said, "So when are you coming home?" And I said, "I don't know. Why? What's wrong?" And he's like, "Well, you know that blanket that you got covering the hallway?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, it just raised up and down like somebody walked underneath it." And I said, "Well, are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm a little freaked out, but I'm okay. So when are you coming home?" So,
what part, all right, let me ask you this. I'm sensitive. I'm getting a couple of different things. A, obviously Native American, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Prior owners before, after, obviously after that. But let me ask you this. The history of the house. House was built more recently, but there's a house that was, that there was something on that house before, an older house structure,
there
right?
Was. Yeah, there was.
Going back probably about to the Sooner days, in the early, very, very,
there, where like we 18, live at.
60s, I'm hearing 1860s, 1870s.
Where we live at is on top of. Where we are specifically is kind of on top of a mountain. The town where we live in is a lake town. The town itself was in one location at one time, and they ended up moving it. The land flooded, a huge flood. Like, the lake is covering it up now. And the house where we live at, there were some homes out here. It's since been converted. Now, I don't know exactly when the date. But it's now been turned into a subdivision outside of the town, outside of the city limits, where we stay at. We actually had a woman that lived here before we did passed away in the driveway. She had a heart attack. And when we first moved out here, I came in, and I am as well, and I went into the bedroom. And I saw this, or I got the impression of this little old woman, this little chunky little woman, and was very, you know, we had kids and she was very accepting and nice. And I had an accident. I was breaking horses and got thrown off a horse, and horse rolled over on top of me, dumped me on the rocks. And I went through a lot of surgeries. And I ended up with a blood and bone infection and was in bed, bedridden for a couple months with a PICC line. And I used to hear her walk in or hear somebody walk in. And, of course, I couldn't just jump up and look. And it got to the point one day I said, if you really want to help, you know, I know you're checking on me. I said, you could really rub my back. And I would, from that moment on, at different times, I would be awakened and I could feel somebody rubbing my back. I could feel a hand rubbing down my back. And when my wife was pregnant with our daughter, she's three now, when she was pregnant, my wife had a lot of indigestion issues. And she would be complaining about that. And she would wake up and she would be sitting there telling me, I can feel somebody with their hand rubbing up and down my belly. And after my daughter was born, it was the same way. You could catch her looking. And so we always, you know, just figured it was her, you know, and still do. But, you know, we're really welcoming here because, you know, when was that, Donnie? It was 2011 we had all those fires.
Yeah.
And we lost our place outside of town and lucked out and found this one here. But there were a lot of homes destroyed from wildfire. And when that happened, I mean, the activity around here was wow. So we started just, you know, we would go someplace, do an investigation at somebody's house. And, you know, I would go in the back and I would just calmly say, hey, listen, you're welcome. If you don't mean any harm to us, you're welcome to come go with us and stay at our place. And at one time, you know, we were doing EVP session stuff like that. It was like 17 or 18 different voices that we got here. And, you know, there was one time something was just off, and it was right after my wife and I got together and she moved in here. Something was just, there was just a feeling, and there was a lot of noise out in the kitchen, cabinet shutting, you could hear stomping. It was obvious they were trying to get our attention. And we come out, and it was the most god-awful feeling in the world. I mean, it was just like there was something bad was there. And I just said, y'all help me get rid of this thing. Don't let this thing come in the house. And it worked.
No, something angry. It was when people say something bad, it's like they misinterpret somebody's anger and frustration. As I say, it's all about point of view. Human beings have a perception issue. It's either one of three perceptions. One is stupid, where if you see a fire, example, you see a fire, stupid response is, what the hell is that? Walks right up to it, basically puts his hand in it, and the next thing you know, it burns.
Right.
And it's like, oh, geez, what that's hot. No shit, Sherlock, you're not supposed to put your hand in a fire. Use some brains. Second response is the fear response. Oh my God, it's fire. I gotta get away. Oh my God, how do I deal with it? Oh my God, what do I do? You lose your cookies. You've lost your composure. You cannot deal with it on a rational basis. No matter what it is, you've lost the ability to deal with it calmly, coolly, and collectively. The third way is a curious response, which is, okay, I don't know what it is. Let me just approach it close, slowly and with curiosity, and I'm not going to lose my shit. I'm just going to come up upon it and see it, and let's see what happens. And it's like, well, it feels it's warm. All right, I'm not going to go put my hand in there, so I have respect for it. And that's what I'm saying to you. You know what I keep hearing is, it's a demon. It's like, no, it's somebody who's upset.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know, it's like Chris Fleming was here, and there was a spirit on the EVP, and we also have it on during the video session right around the corner from where I am now in the laundry room. And the spirit said famously, with like, there's a group of people doing Chris's paranormal investigation tour here, and he says, the spirit says, F you, dying, get out of the house. Woman in the group says, oh my God, it's a demon. I said, no, it's not. I said, she would have heard me say that to Chris. Would you say I'm a demon? And she goes, no. I said, exactly. Because all you're doing is you're eavesdropping the conversation between Chris and this disembodied entity and the spirit. Mm-hmm. And this spirit knows Chris. because he's seen Chris here before. And for whatever reason, Chris does not stroke him the right way. And for whatever reason, this spirit does not like Chris. So don't take offense to what he said. It's just between him and Chris. And you
think Chris is an asshole.
Right. Well, and also humans like spirits like humans are complex. So you can't judge like one word or one phrase on, you know, good or bad, like good and evil. It's not like that. It's more complex, way more complex, because people are complex, and that's where spirits come from, essentially, the ones that we, you know, notice. Or do we get spirits from animals?
I think you get both, but I think it's more infrequent than just spirits from animals, but they do exist, because I saw a black cat here before I ever had a black cat that was alive in this house 10 years ago up here. I've had other people described to me my dead dog, Stella, who died 4 years ago, to a T, and I brought out a picture of her, and they said, no, that's the dog I just saw, and said, she's passed away. Right. And it's like, no, she was right here next to my feet. It's like, no.
She isn't aware of it.
Other people, lots of different people have described and said they saw her and such, but more frequently, a spirit is just that who has passed on, the soul. That's what it is. That's their energy. If they're unhappy when they're alive, they're going to be unhappy when they're dead, for the most part, if they're still here.
Right. I think they still have moods.
Of course they do.
They still have a bad day.
They're still complex, just like you. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think, you know, and we discussed that on, I can't remember if it was our last show or the show before that. You know, we discussed that whole thing of, you know, what is it actually when you die? You know, is it your soul? Is it your memories that are you know, what exactly? I mean, we get pretty deep in some of our conversations, but, you
and
know.
Then we talk about ghost boning.
Right.
what goes hump in the night?
Yeah, things that go hump in the night.
Actual.
Oh, you mean people, ghosts that hump in the night. Yes, they do hump in the night quite a bit.
And I can't remember what it was. I found it the other night. I mean, it's a big deal. And a lot of celebrities have made claims of having sex with entities. But
haunted vaginas.
Yeah.
Well, that's Kesha. She was actually here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's it.
She was here a year ago.
Yes, we were speaking of Kesha, and I thought, okay, Kesha, I think she had boned something that goes hump in the night.
Dan Aykroyd shit, you know, Dan Aykroyd was
but
one.
She also brushes her teeth.
Well, Aykroyd's another story. Aykroyd's different. Aykroyd's another story because Aykroyd's father is from, is Canadian, and in Canada, Dan's brother and Dan's father were both paranormal investigators.
I didn't know that.
Ghostbusters is based upon Aykroyd's father's research and findings to a large extent. Yeah.
I just don't think if you brush your teeth with a bottle of Jack, you can actually think you boned something that goes hump in the night.
depends on how big you have the
bottle. Can you be believed at that if you actually brush your teeth with a bottle of Jack?
If it's a bottlehead like that, or if it's a bottlehead like that, anything is possible, Jax.
I don't.
Yeah. That's just Kesha though. She's
strange.
Yeah.
I like her. She's brilliant, but she's batshit insane. I love her.
Isn't that like a reality show?
She's a big girl too.
A while back.
She's no Ariana Grande. Let's put it that way. She's not your teacup poodle, okay?
Yeah.
She came with her mom, and I have video footage on the closed circuit cam that I saved of her visit in the house. This is pre the determination of the lawsuit with her case against the Sony record producers.
Right.
And she was here for about an hour and a half with her girlfriend, and her mom, and Scott Michaels of Dearly Departed Tours, who brought her up here. And it was funny. I didn't make the connection that she was the one who said she had the haunted vagina and she wanted to have sex with a ghost. And that's part of the reason why she wanted to, so interestingly enough, visit the house.
I'm sorry, I can't resist a shizak.
I mean, did she come there to get
off? Does he need to perform an exorcism with her vagina?
Did she come to get off? Well, I don't know.
I mean, did she come there to come I don't know.
Did she come there to come?
Did she come to find Casper the Friendly Gropes?
God. But I do know that an ex-girlfriend of mine from about 13 years ago did report to me the last night that we were together. That was also the last night that was like, the last night that we were together, that was also the last night I slept in the same bed with her but did not sleep with her. She reported to me that the following morning she was telling me what a wonderful lover I was and how it was the greatest orgasm of her life. And I looked at her and said, what? And all I remember was, as at midnight, she made some off-color remark that she thought was very humorous. And I said, you know something? That's it. I'm done. We're through. I'm not going to tell you right now. It's too late to get into your shit and kick you out of the house and have a stir with you now. But we're fucking done. D-O-N-E, done. Goodbye. Good night. Good sleep. But not with you, you see. So I folded my arms on my chest like a corpse, and I fell asleep at midnight. I woke up, ironically enough, in the same position. And I looked at myself and said, that's weird. I always toss and turn when I sleep. I never sleep in one position. So I looked and I unfolded my arms. I said, God, that was the craziest sleep. And I look at her and she goes, oh, you were a tiger last night. And I'm like, okay. And she said, ruh-roh. She says, Ruggy, Borge, Borge. Funny, Astro and Scooby-Doo sound awfully alike. but I sat there and I said, well, you were kissing, you started kissing the heels of my foot and then started gently kissing up the my Achilles tendon, up my calf, all the way up my thigh. And I'm like going, the hell, it sounds like something I would do, just not with you anymore. So she keeps going, and I'm going, I'm smiling and thinking to myself, yeah, right. And she goes, that's interesting. She goes, I remember turning to my left, and which would put her on the edge, since she was on the left side of the bed, and looking and seeing your smiling face, and said, how could I have turned, you could turn to your left and seen my smiling face if to your left is the edge of the bed? And she said, you know, you're right. And I said, it wasn't me. At which point I said, you know something, cat out of the bag, we're done. I don't want to see you again. I went to bed with my arms folded like a corpse, and I woke up looking like that. And I said, I didn't touch you last night. It wasn't me. So that's what she ended up experiencing. Oh, Fiona, stop having dreams and sleep dreaming. That's my dog, Fiona, over there having sleep dreams. You can hear her.
I can hear her.
Snorkeling.
Maybe she's thinking about a girlfriend that used to live there with you.
Hey, Fee. Don't have night dreams. It's daytime still. All right, she's not going to make any more sounds. Oh, look at the old Doxy, your smooth coat Doxy.
Yeah, he's a miniature. He's a mini. This is Pocket the Paranormal Pooch.
Hello, Pocket, sweetheart.
What a good puppy.
He's my buddy.
Boy, good boy.
It's the
Pocket.
Only thing I got in my divorce.
Oh God,
it was worth
good
it.
Good boy, Pocket.
Oh, I was happy.
He looks so sweet.
Oh, he's a daddy's boy.
What a sweetheart. What a sweet boy.
He'll crawl up on my chest and lay his head on my shoulder and go to sleep.
Oh, that's the best.
That so does my 45-pound pit bull. It's like,
yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it's true. One time I was talking to Donnie, and his dog just proceeded to, like, make out with him. And I was like, what's going on there? Like, I was talking to someone else. We were doing our last show with
Harry.
Intoxication Nation. And I looked over Donnie's screen, and he's just, like, being licked all the hell.
Yeah, she was like, right here, and I had just had this feeling I was being watched, and I turn and look, and as soon as I made eye contact, it was like my whole life and her tongue flashed before my eyes. She was like all up on my shoulders and just like tongue flapping. Like, stop!
I was like, what the hell is going on now? I was so amused. It was amazing.
Yeah,
he has been back there since the breakup.
Yep, since the breakup. Yes, he's been back here one time. I've actually sent him an email a week ago, and was waiting for him to get back to me because, you know, he's got that paranormal tour going across the country and all that stuff. He's got the USS Hornet sometime next year, and I said, Nick, you're doing that investigation tour. Why don't you do it at my house?
Right.
So he said, you know, I said, you know, you could do it here. And be a smash. I said, you never did anything in L.A. Why not? I said, this is the place people know you. You're famous for from that scratch. So yeah. We'll see what happens, you know.
It'd be cool to see him back there.
Well, like I said, he was here the 29th of February, 2016. And because he came back, because of the show, I decided to do the smart thing. And that was have a camera crew here. And we videotaped his interviewed him with his first return visit here because, you know, there's an old saying, you can only meet a person, you can only make a first impression one time.
Right.
And I thought, you know, you can only come back the second time, only one time on the return visit alone. So I said, I got to document this stuff. I got to videotape it. So we videotaped it and it's great. His interview was good. The walkthrough, the house was crazy. There was stuff happened to Katrina, who they brought with. And Katrina's down on the third floor again in the theater room, and she goes, somebody's pushing down on my shoulders. I said, what do you mean? She goes, feels like there's two hands, and one on each shoulder, and they're pushing me down into the ground. And I'm like, really? She goes, oh, it feels wicked. She goes, it feels wicked. I can definitely feel it. It's forceful. And I'm like, one. Okay. So, I mean, you know, I'd like to do Paranormal Lockdown, except I don't think he could do 3 days here.
No, certainly not. I mean, maybe. I mean, you live there, so.
I haven't, again, I've had people here. I've had Jan von Prague here. We've had Lisa Williams. We've had Chris Fleming a couple times. I've had Debbie and Mark Constantino here twice. They spent the night here a couple times. Trying to think of whom else besides Jason Hawes and Grant and you know, Nick, Aaron, and Zach, you know, all the. Here's the funny thing is I've also had Dana Workman from Hornet Highway, who's a friend of mine, and Jason Gates from the Hornet Collector come here.
Right.
I've attempted to have Josh Gates. I've attempted to have Nick Zapp. I mean, John Zapp is here. I've attempted to have Lloyd Auerbach here, and that's going back 13 years now.
Right.
None of them. I've also tried to have Amy Allen here. Oh yeah, they wanted to do Ghost, Dead Files wanted to come out here. For the past couple months, they were asking me if they could come out, and they want to do a special here, and it's like going, no, I want to do my own show. I don't want you guys to do it for me and take all the glory and do spin it your way. I've done 6 already. Why do I need another one to make you guys money?
You know, and that's what I would worry about too, is trying to spin it to the way they want to spin it, to where it, you know, it publicizes their shows their own way, when, you know, and that's the one thing that I've always been real big on is, you know, yeah, you may be coming into somebody's home, but it's not just their home. You know, if and I refer to them as guests, if their guests live there as well, it's their home too.
Right.
And you're intruding on their space as well. If the client, I guess you would say, is welcome to them being there, well, you're intruding on their space as well. And, you know, and that's one thing, you know, it doesn't matter how many investigations that we get, because we're an active investigating team. You know, if I've got this guy down here that can guarantee me a full body apparition that's going to put me at the top of the leader map and all that stuff in here, and I've got this family over here with the 3-year-old that keeps crying tonight going, Mommy, there's something bad under the bed, I'm going to go see if I can figure out what that 3-year-old's talking about, and either one, prove that it maybe is something bad that could be harmful to the child, or two, it's grandpa trying to come back to see his grandson and just doesn't know how to do it the right way. And that's one thing that I've always been since from the beginning. I've been on paranormal teams before, and I've left those teams because they go in, they stir shit up, and then they forget about them. And then the family's there to deal with all the repercussion and the backlash, if there is any. And or they went more for what can we get out of this as opposed to what can we do for this family. And you can look on my Facebook page, you know, it's if children are involved, it goes to the top of the list no matter what. And, you know, a lot of times we've run into situations where it's been really, really hard. We've been able to tell that something was wrong, and we've had to get help come in. I am not opposed to having somebody come in and help me that is more qualified as I am, as far as whether it be a Cheyenne or a Cherokee medicine man or a Cheyenne medicine man that bases all of their beliefs and their actions on respect and go on respect first, no matter what. And that's the key. And that's the one thing that I like about you that I've noticed is looking back, because I look at a lot of the things that you've done. I go back and look at some of the shows that's been on there, and you've been real key on the whole respect thing. And I think that's absolutely amazing. I think it's very commendable. And I think there are a lot of people in the paranormal world, from investigating teams to others, that really appreciate people like you, that you're not trying to exploit what you have going on. It's an education thing, and I really see it as that. And that was one of the things, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on the show so bad, is because, you know, some people only see, they don't see the reason behind why you have I don't want to say animosity, but why you have the issues you do with Zach Bagans. And, you know, you talk about this, and I've had people, you know, that I've talked to about this and go, really? It's like, yeah, just go watch one of the shows and really pay attention to what he's doing and put yourself in a position to where, very simply, your grandmother is the entity that's there, and listen to the way he's talking to your grandmother.
That's exactly why I noticed that first thing when I watched it. I said, I don't like how he's speaking to them. You need to be respectful of spirits, and that's why I just don't like him.
Well, you know, it goes back, and it's like, well, okay, well, if it's a bad entity and you know it's a bad entity, well, how the hell do you know it's a bad entity? You know, we had an investigation, and Donnie was there, and I got scratched. And I was sitting in a chair, and I got scratched. Why I got scratched, I have no idea, because I did absolutely no. I wasn't being an asshole. It just happened. And then my son and somebody was there and said, well, let's try and see if we can get them riled up to find out what's going on. No, let's wait and see so we can find out what's going on.
Bad idea.
And, you know, and it turned out, and I wasn't, and I went upstairs up into the attic, and I think Donnie was downstairs and my son was downstairs, and I was coming down, and I got scratched on my arm. And I mean, it was a deep blood dripping out of my arm. My son saw the mark go across my arm when it happened. And it's like, I, and the first thing I said was, I wasn't even being an asshole to y'all. I was trying to keep everybody from being an asshole to y'all. But, you know, it's, you know, things happen, and it's one of those things. And I go back and I think, you know, what are the situations surrounding that? You know, what's happening when that takes place? I just have a hard problem envisioning some little green scaly thing with horns coming out of his head and a spiked tail, you know, speaking Latin to me. I more so seem to be of the mind that it's some pissed off, and this is what I envision, some pissed off old guy smoking a stogie, pissed off because he hadn't had a drink of whiskey in however many years he's been dead.
Being like, no, Muffa, you don't No, you don't piss me off or else I'm going to scratch you for a warning.
But, you know, we run through the same things. Oh, it's demonic. I heard it growl.
No.
Growl. Well, I heard it growl. Well, what was it? Well, I don't know, but it growled. Well, it could be a lot of different things.
Maybe it's dog.
You know, and that's one thing. You know, I study the demonology part of it. I read as much as I can on things and all that stuff. And from everything that I've had, two occurrences where I think it was a demonic. And by God, you know if it's a demonic. You know if it's something very bad. There are a lot of signs that say I'm bad news. I don't ever run across that very much.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Red Dirt Paranormal Podcast. Visit our Facebook page, Red Dirt Paranormal of Oklahoma, on Twitter at RDP of Oklahoma, and online at RDPofOklahoma.com.